coming today. Rumor has it it's going to be like this all day. So just enjoy it. And we're going to feed you. How is it going to be better than that? We invite you to come. Hopefully we'll feed you spiritually. We're going to feed you physically. And then we're going to kick you out. All right? But enjoy the time here while you can. Just a reminder, there are just a few Thanksgiving tracts left in the track rack out there. If you want to use them, make yourself available to those. Because next week, they'll be gone and Christmas will be out. So make sure you use those up. You know, when we think of Thanksgiving, and it's happening today, and it's happening again on Thursday, when we think of Thanksgiving, often family comes to mind. I mean, when I was a kid, we used to, my mother's side of the family, we used to rent a town, the Grange Hall. Remember, you that are old enough to remember Grange Halls? Well, we used to go there, and, you know, when I was a little kid, it looked like 1,000 people, but it was probably 100 people or more. And we would just have great time together as kids. We would we'd do family skits after the meal, and we would just do all kinds of stuff. Because Thanksgiving is kind of family, at least for me growing up. That's what I would think of. When I thought of Thanksgiving, I would think of family. But let me ask you this morning. What comes to your mind when you think of family? Now, for most of us, I would think this morning that when we hear the word family, we think of our own physical or biological family. Here's some of my family this morning. I knew you'd want to see them. There's Aiden. He is sleeping, and I believe he's listening to one of my sermons on the internet. Works for him. But family. So we have family, but there's still another family. There's another family. That family that has been bought with the shed blood of Jesus Christ. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. This morning, the title of our message is Forever Family. Forever Family. This family that is sitting beside you this morning, this family that's in front of you or behind you, you may not know their name. They might not be in your circle of church friends. You may never socialize with them. You may not know the heartbreak that they are experiencing or the difficulties that they are facing. But they're still family. So how are we to act as forever family? How are we to treat our family, this family that God thought was important enough to die for? How do we interact with this church family that some of us have never interacted with at all? Well, I'm glad you asked, because Paul tells us, he says this, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. This morning, there's lots of things we could talk about. I just want to talk about three ways in which we can do good for our do good with our forever family. If you're taking notes, and I hope you are, the first one is this. You got to know your place. You have to know your place. As Christians, if we don't know our place, then we will live a most unfulfilled life. When you and I reject our place in the family, then we will miss out on God's blessings. and so won't the family. As a Christian, our place is to think of family first. To live my life, not focus on how it affects me, but how it will affect other Christians. How it affects my forever family. Pastor, where in the world did you get that idea? Where did that come from? Well, I'm glad you asked that too, because it comes from the Bible. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Now, look at this. Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. 1 Corinthians 10, 23 to 24. The others that Paul is writing to is the church. It's believers. It's our forever family. You know, too often we're allowing our society to influence us to do just the opposite. Often our first response is to live out our desires, to be concerned how it's going to affect me. Often we're quick to put our feelings and our needs first. Many of us have allowed our lives to become so busy and so filled up that we don't even have time to think about how we can do good or how we can encourage one another. Please understand this, that our busyness is not a badge of honor. Let me say that again. Our over-busyness is not a badge of honor. See, Satan wants us busy. He doesn't care what we're doing, as long as we're not doing what God wants us to do. So he loves it when we become busy. Too busy to keep us from each other. Because busyness promotes independence of each other. While God designed us to be dependent on each other. You get that? Busyness promotes independence. God designed us to be dependent on each other. Please understand that whenever you and I walk into the presence of another family member, you and I are coming face to face with Jesus. Jesus said this, "I tell you the truth, whoever accepts anyone I send, that's a family, accepts me. And whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me." John chapter 13 and verse 20. See, if you and I forget our place, we will live our lives like we have no responsibility to this forever family. We will live our lives as disconnected. We will become indifferent. We will be unsympathetic, disinterested, and oblivious to the needs of others. In order to obey Paul's directive to do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family, we must understand our place. And what is our place? Nobody should seek his own, but the good of others. It begins with our relationship with God. Then we ask God to free us from any unselfishness so that we will be able to fulfill his will in our life. And then we look to see how we can do good to our family. So you got to know your place. Second thing you need to know your family. You need to know your family. You know, life can be difficult at times. If given the opportunity, I think probably every one of us could stand up here this morning and tell stories about different difficult situations or discouraging events or thoughts sometimes of maybe even walking away from the faith. Yet please understand that you, listen to me, you are not experiencing anything that thousands, if not millions of Christians before you have already experienced. Nor will you ever experience anything that other Christians before us haven't experienced. And you say, Pastor, how do you know that? Well, listen to what God said. The temptation in your life are no different from what others have experienced. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. So, maybe you're thinking, or at least I thought as I was putting this together, what is the major determining factor? What is the majoring determining factor on whether or not you give in to these feelings and sin, or you have victory over these feelings and temptation? And I believe a big part of it is the kind of family you choose to surround you. Now, you can tell if you surround yourself with the right family members, because the right family members will draw you to God. The right people will encourage you to become what God wants you to be. They're not going to coddle you. They'll not give into your self-pity when God brings you under conviction. They will be the ones that will stand firmly on God's word and then help you get there. Solomon, who knew a thing or two about having the right people around him, wrote this. He says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Amen. Proverbs 27, verse 17. Strive to find a family member that walks with God, who will encourage you when you are walking with God. Someone who will not be reluctant to confront you with God's word and give you godly advice when you have drifted off from the path that God has placed on your life. That person. Be willing to be that iron that sharpens your friend. And once you have found that relationship, allow God to use you both to become spiritually mature. Find a family member, a forever family member, that will invest in you and help you become more like Christ. And then in turn, start doing it for others. Remember, sin wants to keep us from each other, because sin promotes independence. Independence of each other. I don't need you. You don't need to be in my life. That's sin. Because God has designed us to be dependent on each other. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. And a cord of three is even better, he says, Solomon says, because a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 10, and verse 12. So you need to know your family. You need to know your place. And then lastly, you need to know their burdens. You need to know their burdens. The one that wrote, especially to those who belong to the family of believers, also wrote, carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. Let me ask you this morning, Do you believe, do you honestly believe? And think about, before you give an answer, think about this. Not do you believe it in your head, but does your life prove that you believe it? Do you believe that God is sovereign? All right? Think about that for a moment. Not in your head, because you've memorized it or you know the theology behind it, but does your life show it? Do you believe that God is sovereign in your life? And if you say yes, and if God is sovereign, and he is, whether you and I believe it or not, God is sovereign. If God is sovereign, do you also believe that when you hear of a family member that is in need, that God just may have placed them in your life to help meet that need? Might be a word of encouragement. It might be a commitment to pray for them or to help financially or to use your life experience to help them on their life's path. Because God is our creator, he is aware of what every one of us in this room lacks. And he also knows who has the resources to meet those things that we lack. Just on Wednesday night, at our quarterly business meeting, the need to have a chairlift was lifted up before the congregation, those that were at the meeting. And we want to get a chairlift to put on in the stairway so that people that has difficulty getting up and down stairs can go for a ride. We're looking for volunteers to be the first ones to make sure it works right. Yeah. But, you know, just so they can go down and participate in, like, what we're doing today, a Thanksgiving dinner, just so they can get down there. A need was mentioned. And after the meeting, two families committed to give $4,500 to that meet. That's what God does. But you got to know their burdens. Someone shared a burden with me this morning, something that they're going through with their family. See, if you don't know your family, you'll never know what their burdens are. If you're not connecting with people, people could be self-destructing and you would never know. Because let me tell you something, and you probably fit in this general statement I'm thinking or saying, going to say in just a second. Most of the people that you see on the outside on Sunday are far different on the inside Monday to Saturday. And if you think you're getting in people's lives just by saying, hi, how are you, and they say good, and you say, see you next week, it doesn't work. If we're going to be able to minister to our forever family, you got to know their burdens. And you can't know their burdens if you're not willing to get to know them. And you'll never get to know them if you don't know your place. And your place is not you first, but them first. Henry Blackaby said this. He said, recognizing a need in someone's life can be one of the greatest invitations from God you'll ever experience. But if you don't know your place, if your priority is seeking your own good and not the good of others, you won't recognize God's voice. If you don't develop godly family relationships in this church, then it's highly probable that you will miss out on these invitations to help. Now, does God want you to meet every need represented in this body? That's highly unlikely. But does God want you to meet some needs? That's highly likely. See, it's not our job to determine what needs we are to meet and which needs God wants somebody else to meet. Our job, the Bible says, is to become actively involved in the life of this family. And then ask God to help us determine what needs he wants us to help with and what needs he wants someone else to help with. God has brought you here to Center Barnstead Christian Church to be part of this forever family. See, every one of us in this room brings something different to the family because God made us all different so that we could bring different things to different situations. But every one of us in this room also come with different needs. And if you and I are committed to living out the law of Christ to carry everyone's burdens, then whatever need is within our family, we will be able to help carry those needs, carry those burdens. You know, God may have blessed you financially so that you can be one of his go-to people to provide for others. Some of you have come through deep waters, so you can walk through and encourage others that might be walking through deep waters. Maybe God has helped you overcome an addiction. Or sinful habits. So you can help carry the burden of someone else who is struggling with sinful habits. I do not know how God has gifted you or what talents and abilities he has blessed you with. But I do know this. That he did not give you those gifts, those abilities to keep to yourself. He gave them to you to invest in your forever family. Someone posted this on our Facebook page this week. It says, many people give thanks to God when he gives. Job gave thanks when he took. Because I messed it up before, let me read it again. But listen to the point. Many people give thanks to God when he gives. Job gave thanks when he took. Imagine what a ministry you and I have if we had the attitude of Job. Job didn't even have the cross to look back on. Yet he understood that there was nothing more important than his relationship with God. We started our service this morning with communion, remembering the sacrifice that God made so that we might live. In light of that sacrifice, how should you and I be living our lives regarding the forever family God made the sacrifice? Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. One of my favorite hymn writers is Isaac Watts. And he wrote a song, one of my favorite hymns, is called When I Survey. And he writes a song, and throughout the song, And the song goes, when I survey the cross, he says, after I look at what Christ has done for me, he says, it demands everything from me. My life, my soul, my all. Is that your commitment to your forever family? That's the commitment God wants us to have. The commitment that would send his son to die so that we could be a family is the same commitment God wants to see in us regarding his family.